You guys, we look forward to more from you. We're going to change the order of the service now. Happy to have Brother Mike Clark with us today. I had to ask him a while ago. I knew, but I like reassurance. But I remember the morning that he surrendered to preach right here in this church at this altar. And from that time forward, the only thing a pastor hates about something like that, you know, is you're going to be losing them. And sure enough, he went down to become associate pastor at Gunner, and now he's the pastor down there of that church. But we appreciate him, appreciate his family, appreciate his ministry, appreciate the stand he's taken over the many years. Him, me, we go way back. I've got a son about, he's a year younger than you, right? Somewhere about that. But they played ball together, fought together, grew up together in the Lord. Both of them got called to preach, you know. Lord does funny things, doesn't he? But we're so glad to have Brother Mike with us today. I'm going to introduce him. Brother Mike, would you come? And may the Lord bless you. Certainly, certainly. Feel your liberty. All right, Brother Ronnie. Give me just a minute here. I need to get wired up. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. It's good to be in the house. And, I'm already made a mess of this. Sorry. It doesn't take much to get me confused. I prove that every day. While we're getting this going, I covet your prayers today. We stand here humble. It was January 17th, 2010. We answered our call to preach, and it was about right there. And a few years before that, we were saved. About right there. And I thank the Lord today that He blesses us. He's been good. That song, I got a blessing out of it. Buddy, I'm sorry. I'm going to embarrass my youngest one right now. 7 years ago today, the Lord answered a prayer of mine and a prayer of a lot of people that goes to church here. 7 years ago today, we were at a point in our life and our family to where my youngest, he couldn't walk very well. And I didn't know what to do. And there was one time, our days got to the point, and this was just in about a 2-month span, but we went from coming home from a t-ball game, you know, there's a lot settled in a 6-year-old t-ball game. And come home, Dad, my ankle hurts. 2 months later, our day started out a little different. We had to go in and carry him from his bed to the couch, or carry him into the restroom. We didn't know where to turn. We went to the doctor, and they didn't know what to do. One morning I was at the end. I didn't know what. Like I said, it doesn't take me much to get going, but I just went in, and I'm thankful for God that whenever we don't know what to pray, our spirit, the spirit that's given to us, He steps up on our behalf, and He begins to claim before the very throne of God, "Boy, God, this is one of ours, and He has a need." That day I just simply started crying, saying, "Lord, I need help," and He showed up every time, and He has ever since. 7 years ago today, we got a diagnosis of what it was. They found the problem. God allowed them to understand that, and He gave us the healing, and He's here today. He's 6 years removed from any signs of juvenile arthritis. And it's not because of what doctors have done. Oh, they've helped. God sent them our way. But I tell you what, I don't know if I offended the doctor or not, but I told him his name's Dr. Holtzel. You pray for him. I don't know if he's a Christian or not. He's a good man. I talked to him, and he never did give me any clear indication. But I told him, I said, whether you want to be or not, you're an answer to my prayer. And he just said, well, good. And I don't know if He fully got it or not, but I did. God showed up. And He will show up. And He's been good to me. Now I better get back to my notes. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Brother Ronnie, I appreciate you very much. I love you with all my heart. And this good church, each and every one of you, you've outdone yourselves. I appreciate the fact, though, most of all, that you prayed. You prayed for us. And I'm thankful that prayer still works. It still works. If you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn to Luke chapter number 10. I tell my people in my church, I'm glad to see my buddy Norm. I lean on him a tremendous amount there at Gunner. And he's been there over 40 years. And had the pastor there, that Brother Jerry. You continue to remember him as well and his ministry. But Norm, I've leaned on him a lot. And Norman, I appreciate you being here today. I love him. I love you with all my heart, buddy. And Miss Judy, she's over in heaven now, but there's going to be a day, isn't there, that we're going to be able to meet her. Amen. We're going to see her again. But here in Luke chapter number 10, you know, while we I already feel myself kind of getting pulled everywhere, but you pray for us. But while we look forward to heaven and we look forward to the day of being with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there's still work to do, folks. There's still work for you and I to do. As long as we draw our breath here on earth, there's still work to do. And that's what the Lord has laid on our heart today. And I'm just simply I don't know if there's a title. I just wrote down on top of my paper three questions. Three questions that I think it's good for us to look at today. And with God's help and His Holy Spirit guiding us, we'll do our best to just simply lift up Jesus. Luke chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 30. Boy, of all the days to forget a hanky, I tell you what. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 30, it begins and says, and Jesus, I'm sorry, please stand. You probably use that, Craig, that's all right. Thank you. Is that holy water? Is that what it is? Please stand for the reading of the Word today. I apologize, I should have, like I said, we're kind of going all over the place. Verse number 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his beast, on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Today we're going to look at three questions. Only 2 answers, but there's 3 questions. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we're thankful, God, for the opportunity we have to be in your house one more time. Lord, we're thankful for the Spirit that we felt in our heart yesterday, Lord, and this morning as the songs went forth. God, I thank you for this family, Lord. I pray you'd bless them, God, for your will, and that you would just send them souls, dear God, that need to hear the songs, dear God, that they sing. Lord, today we ask that your Spirit would be here in this place, Lord. We ask that each of our hearts, my heart, Lord, that I would be attentive to your Word. Lord, help us, dear God, to realize that it's not just here in this place. It's good to be here, but Lord, it's outside of the doors of this place where we need to take you. God, help us, Lord, to just simply proclaim your Word. Lord, I pray that if there's a need in the house today, Lord, there may be somebody here that's not saved. God, I pray you'd convict them real good. Lord, let them see they need a Savior. And Lord, I ask that if those that are saved, help us to take a look to see where we're at against the mirror of your Word. Lord, I ask again that you'd help us. God, use us in a special way. Just get me out of the way. Lord, just put your Holy Spirit in my place. God, help us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, one thing we need to realize is as we begin to look at this story, I'm sure every preacher here has preached on this scripture, and no doubt we've learned this scripture from time we were kids and in Sunday school, but as we look here at this passage of scripture, that we first, I think it's important for us to realize that the road to Jericho Road, where the setting of this story is, it is a treacherous place. 18 miles, as I understand it, hills and rocks and all kinds of places. That's why the robbers liked them. That's why the thieves set out to the side. They had places to hide. Don't you think for a minute that our enemy, the devil, don't you think that he's buddies to you? You young kids, you listen to me. Let me see your eyeballs for a minute. Let me tell you something. There's going to be things that come your way that you're going to have a hard time understanding. Parents, you better understand that too. We have an enemy that's after these poor kids' hearts. They're after these poor kids' souls. And you know what? He's after your heart and your soul too. Don't you think there, hey, now Drew, you just be good now. He's after you. Listen here, buddy. He's after you as well. And I know you know that why. But God bless him. We need to pray for him. We have an enemy that looks out for you and I, and he doesn't care a lick about you. If you don't think that's true, you go over and read the book of Job. God gave devil precedence. He said, okay, you can go ahead and touch him. What did he do? Wait around a little bit? No. I believe he made a dead sprint right to Job. He began to take away those things that were good to him. The things that God had given to him. He began to tear them away. And he took it. And I believe with all of my heart that if God would have given the devil right away, he would have killed Job right on the spot. How do I know that? Good gracious, you look at our world today and see what the devil's doing. He's got people convinced that if they strap a bomb to themselves, they're going to go to heaven. He's got people convinced, well, if you just go get this pregnancy, if you just go get that pregnancy removed, everything's going to be okay. He's after to kill people today, and you're a part of it, whether you want to be or not. But the road that we're traveling is a treacherous road. It's a dangerous road. We have an enemy that we better give credit to. One that we cannot overcome on our own. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ to help you and I. It takes His Holy Spirit to live in each and every one of our hearts so that we can go up and we can face Him with the full assurance that I can be more than conquerors through Christ. That strengthens me.
Amen.
We have a dangerous road ahead of us. We have a dangerous road ahead of us. That's why my first question to you today is, what if preachers quit preaching? What if preachers quit preaching? If you would just hold on a second, I'm going to preach to myself. And if you want to listen, you go right on ahead. But what if preachers quit preaching? We look here in this 31st verse, as we look down, the 31st verse, it says, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. What if preachers quit preaching? I begin to read that and begin to study and just begin to ponder the thoughts a little bit. And the Holy Spirit, one of the things that kind of made me wonder, I first thought, well, maybe he just didn't look over there and see him. Maybe he just wasn't watching where he was going. I believe that's a problem sometimes we as preachers have. Sometimes we become oblivious to everything that's around us. But if you notice the scripture there, it said he looked over and he saw him. He looked over and he saw him. Sometimes we look, but we don't see. There's two different things there. There's two different things. It's kind of like hearing and listening. They're two different things. And if you're a parent today, you know. Believe me, Brother Lonnie mentioned wooden spoons. That brought a cold chill to me. Because I am very well acquainted with wooden spoons. Because I would hear my mama, but I wouldn't listen. Sometimes we look and we notice the problems, but we don't see the people that has gotten in them. Sometimes we overlook that, Brother Jimmy. Sometimes we just simply say, yeah, that's a problem. Hey, why don't you go fix it, Ronnie? Sometimes we as preachers, if we're not careful, we begin to just lay off our responsibility. I begin to say, in my case, I said, Brother Norm, you need to help me do this, and I'll send him on his way. And you know what? Brother Norm, every time, he'll go and he'll help me out in ways that I never even imagined. But it's not his responsibility to do my work. And you know what, preacher, if you're here today, it's not your people's job to do your work either.
Amen.
That's where we have a problem, I believe. Sometimes we have men, and in fact, I believe a lot of times we have men standing in the pulpits that are so stinking wishy-washy that they can't stand for anything because they're scared, because they've become blinded by their own agenda. That's where, and I don't care if you're a big church, little church, Brother Ronnie, it can happen to you, it can happen to me. It can get in every last one of our ways. We can begin to get blinded by what I want. We begin to get blinded. Believe me, I like to look back there. I'm kind of envious, to be honest with you. I don't see a Sunday school board to see how many people's here. I kind of like that. Because sometimes, what do? We look at, oh, that's our gauge. Why? Because I can go up and say, boy, Brother Ron, I had 137 today. How many did you have?
Yeah.
You know, well, I don't have 137 either, but that's all right. Yeah, we'd like to, wouldn't we, Norm? We'd like to, but we don't. Why is that? Because at my church, we sing the old-time hymns. Because at my church, we preach the old-time gospel. And I'm telling you, and I don't mean to be a downer. Believe me, I don't mean to be a downer. But if you stand on the Lord Almighty, and you stand on His Son, Jesus Christ, and you stand in His blood, and the confidence we can have in it, you probably won't be very big. And if you are very big, you won't be very popular. And sometimes that stings, Corey. Sometimes my agenda doesn't like that because I like to be able to come up and go and say, well, there's old Mike. He's really doing a good job. Sometimes I walk up and say, oh, here comes the preacher. But you know what? What happens if I don't preach? What happens if you don't preach?
Amen.
I tell you what, over in Romans chapter number 10, it says, it tells us what happens. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 14, says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How then, or how shall they believe in Him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Paul told Timothy that we're all called with a holy calling. Not only do we need to worry about what if preachers quit preaching, but what if Christians quit reaching? If you look there in that 32nd verse, it talks about a Levite that was sent away. And I tell you, if there's not a picture of what our society and what our churches, let's leave society alone. We know who their master is. Let's look at the churches today. Sometimes I wonder who's the master of our churches because we don't reach out to those that are in need. We point to the preacher. Well, you need to go do this and you need to go do that. I've been faced with questions I never thought I'd be faced with as a preacher. And most of them are from the ones that I can't even believe are asking. I've had people come up and say, well, why don't you do this? And why don't you do that? And sometimes the smart aleck side, I mean the side that I want to get under control, and sometimes I lose control of, which by the way, I'll just touch on that a minute. Preachers, you better watch how you're preaching, not just what you're preaching, because a lot of times our actions will speak so much louder than our words ever will.
Amen.
So you keep that smart aleck side. I need to keep my smart aleck side out of the way, because let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit has a hard time working whenever we get ourselves in the way through our smart aleck side. But listen, whenever we begin to get those questions come to us, the question that comes to my mind, Christians say, well, preacher, why don't you do this? And preacher, why don't you do that? Then I begin to wonder, well, if I did, would you help? Well, I've got a job. You know what? I've got one too. Well, I've got this and I've got that. Yeah. I do too. What happens if we don't reach? What happens if we just simply... What happens if we turn into a set of alligator arms where we reach about this far? What happens whenever our Christian life doesn't reach out to those that are around us? Here, I'll help you, Drew. You just reach over here and you grab me. Listen, our job is to reach out to those that are in need. Our job is to use the Holy Spirit that God has given to each one of us and reach out like He wants us to reach.
Amen.
And in order to do that, we have to get ourselves out of the way. I believe that's why the Apostle Paul struggled like he did, because he knew what his flesh was capable of, just like I know what I'm capable of. And you know what? Just like Brother Lonnie preached about last night, you all are the same way I am. We have a spirit of enmity inside of each and every one of us, something that is opposite of God. And it's there from the very beginning. And there's only one thing that can take it away, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. And I don't mean that it can take it away, because I believe that Spirit is there all the way until we draw our last breath. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can help keep it at bay. That's why we must rely upon Him. But what if Christians quit reaching? Sometimes we become too busy. That's what I thought. Sometimes we become too busy. You know what? I'm guilty of that. I'll tell on myself a little bit. The church here had several prayer meetings. Corey called me. Boy, Corey, I've got a lot of stuff. And I did. Sometimes we're too busy. And sometimes we're too busy with good things. Those are the hardest ones to let down. Those are the ones that we like to hang on to. And I've been guilty of this. And I believe that there's a few couples here that I've talked to about it. But I know in my case, in our family's case, at one time, baseball was a pretty prominent thing. And there's nothing wrong with baseball. I love baseball. There's just something about hearing that ball hit the bat. And sometimes, whenever we were younger and foolish, we began to say, well, it's not that big of a deal. And there were a few times where we failed. And I'll be honest with you, to my shame, we failed. We need to be careful what we're too busy with. The Word tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Sometimes we seek the kingdom of God and then we're done. We need to seek the kingdom of God first. We need to make sure that his priority is our priority. Here, this Levi, he was one that he should have known. If I understand it, I'm not very well versed, not like much of these preachers here. In fact, Brother Lonnie, I'm reminded, one time you made a comment that you felt like a mule in a barn full of thoroughbred. That's kind of how I feel whenever it comes to dissecting the Word, whenever we get in a place like this. But let me tell you something. You don't have to read very hard and understand the Levites were used to working. They were used to being following the priest around, doing things. They were used to reaching out to those that they come in contact with, fulfilling their responsibilities. He should have known what to do. And you know what? I think he did. How do I think that? Because he walked over to him and looked. He walked over to him and looked. He beat the priest out on that. The priest didn't even look at him. He just kept on going, oh, look at that. He just kept on going. Just like it was a pretty tree or something. But the Levite went over and he was, I don't know if he had a place to be in Jericho or not. I don't know. Sometimes we become too busy and we'll just kind of kick them. You okay? Oh, well, yeah, okay. I don't have time. And that's the extent of our witness, is just a kick. God bless you. And that's it. Lord, I'm praying for you. Hey, listen to me. If you're telling you pray for them, you better. I believe with all my heart. And I've been guilty of it too. And you know what? I bet you have too. I'm praying for you, Kendall. And then I never utter a word. Let me tell you something. You're using the name of God there. You better use it. Not in vain. We hang our hat on the profanity use, the profane use of God's name, and nothing gets my... You talk about last night, something that makes my hair stand up on the back of my neck. It's that. But how many times do we throw God's name around just like, well, I'll pray for you, and then that's it? We must be careful. We must be careful that we're not too busy just to throw Him around like a catch-all for everything. Not only are we too busy, and here's the thing that kind of troubles my heart. Sometimes it's too dirty to help. It's too dirty. This man had been beaten, destroyed. No doubt his body was broken and in a ditch. I'm sure it wasn't a clean ditch. I'm sure it wasn't a real pleasant place to be. Sometimes we're too scared. Maybe that Levite, whenever he left town, or maybe when he left his house, maybe he just had his suit pressed. Maybe he had his button done just right. Took him forever to tie his tie. You okay? If I take this off, I'm never going to be able to tie this again. We're afraid to get down and get dirty. And I'm not talking about taking on the sins of the world. If that's what you're concerned about, then you better look at where your heart's at to begin with. Let me tell you something. I'm not saying that we're not, where we can't be tricked. I'm not saying that we can't be fooled into thinking we're untouchable, because it is possible where we begin to put confidence in ourselves. But let me tell you something, brother and sister. If you're here today and you ever get to the point where you're too worried about going out into the world, doesn't mean you have to be of the world, but you better believe we've been sent into the world to do His bidding. And sometimes, not only, we may not be too busy. We may be to where we say, all right, I'm going to stop and help, but then we're afraid to get dirty and get down there with them. Listen to me. You've got to get next to them if you're going to wrap your arms around them. You've got to wrap your arms around them. That's what the world needs, is us to, as Christ's children, is to wrap our arms around the world. Wrap their arms. And let me tell you something. Sometimes you're going to be wrapping your arms around somebody that may not smell very good. Here's how God worked in my life. I need correction. Sometimes God's got His own set of wooden spoons. And I've been taken a lot to the woodshed, so to speak. Because I got a lot of cleaning up I need to be done. But I worked with a man. His name was Steve. Steve was a vile man. His language, horrible. His lifestyle was a mess. Steve wasn't fun to be around. There was a couple of times, and I did my best. I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me. And we'd be in a meeting or something, and inevitably Steve would say something. Oh, my goodness. I said, Lord, you're going to have to either make him go away, or I'm going to have to go. And I don't know what. You know what the Lord did? One day I walked in, my boss says, hey, Mike, I need you to come and help me for a second. I said, all right. Guess who I got to work with? Because Steve needed to see Jesus. Amen. I wasn't happy that day. I'm like, Lord, are you? Sometimes our tie gets too tight. And sometimes our jacket gets too pressed to realize that Steve needed a Savior. Not only can we become too busy, but I also believe that we can be afraid of becoming too dirty. And not only did this Levite struggle from that, I think he also struggled. Well, wait a minute, before I forget, one thing that was impressed upon me, this has been a few years ago as we were studying about the crucifixion. It talks about Simon of Cyrene was compelled to carry the cross of Christ. Holy Spirit asked me a question in my heart. He says, do you think that cross was a clean cross? Jesus had already been beaten. The crown of thorns had already been placed on His head. He says, hey, you need to carry that. I wonder what went through Simon's mind as he carried that, right before he picked that up. And that word compelled there didn't mean Simon goes, pick me, pick me. Because that's not how it was. Compelled means they made him. Yeah. You and I ought to have a heart willing to pick up that dirty old, well, I better not say like that's kind of irreverent there, but it was a bloody cross. It was a cross that needed to be picked up. We need to make sure we're not scared of a little dirt. Now, to my next point there. Not only can we be too busy, and not only can we be afraid of being too tired, sometimes we're just too selfish. And I know we are. I am. I like mine. I've liked that from the time I can ever remember. I like mine. That's probably why Wyatt and I fought like we did. And I ain't kidding. We used to just knock the snot out of each other. And then our dads would come over and start beating us, telling us not to hit each other. Am I right? I am on our right. That's right. But those fights are a result of what I want. And a lot of times if we follow after what I want, then the Lord's work doesn't get fulfilled. I preached on this, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago. And looking to Kimmy, I'll be honest with you, I was nervous as all get out. I was afraid to shake anybody's hand last night because I was already nervous for today. I was afraid to shake it. And the reason why I was a little nervous about shaking the hand is because my hands were sweaty, Lonnie, for the Lord thing about today. And I didn't want you to think I was under conviction. I mean, you preached at me enough with me under conviction. And I say that, and I don't mean to joke about that, but I was. But you know, we can get too busy. We get too worried about being dirty. We get too selfish. If you read over about Elisha, whenever the mantle fell and he picked it up and he went over to the Jordan, and he struck out at it, and that mantle hit it, and he says, "Where is the God?" Not questioning if he was going to be there, but "Where is the God?" And God showed up in a mighty way. But he only did that for Elisha. Well, I know there was 50 others that were watching, and they saw that the power that Elijah had been transferred to Elisha, and I get all that. But God showed up for Elisha. Yeah. But it wasn't until Elisha went to Jericho, outside of Jericho actually, with a little old cruise, with a little bit of salt. The men says, "Boy, look at our city. There's a lot to offer here. But our water's no good." He went outside the city, began to pour in the salt. And it's then that the city was saved. Folks, you and I, the world sees a little cruise. And all they see, Kendall, is just maybe a little bit of salt. You know, and sometimes I look at my cruise and I think, "Boy, I'm not bringing a whole lot." And you know what? The devil will be here and say, "Boy, you're just not, there's not much to you." He'll do that.
He will.
But you know what? The same God that showed up for Elisha and split the water is the same God that can be in just a little bit of salt, and as we begin to pour it into the water, then the whole city could be saved. You and I have the same power, access to the same power that Elisha did that day. Only thing is, we cannot be too selfish. We come into a camp meeting like this, and don't get me wrong, I like to raise my hand and praise my Lord and Savior. I like to feel the Holy Spirit just so thick that you just can't even help move sometimes. But let me tell you something, if we don't walk out those doors and take the salt that we've gotten this week, and then maybe tomorrow on Sunday, wherever you go to church, if you don't take the salt that's been given to you, then you're selfish.
Amen.
And who am I to not share what has been so freely given to me?
That's good.
We need to make sure we realize that there's only one answer to the question, to the two questions that I've asked so far. What if preachers quit preaching? And what if Christians quit reaching? Look up at verse number 30 and you'll see the answer to that question. The world, our country, our communities, our churches, our families, you and I and every individual that we meet will be left half dead in a ditch. And I'm telling you what, brother and sister, I think we're past half dead today. My goodness, the things that we've got going on. I can't believe that the Lord has tarried this long. But I think that's a testament to the love that He has for you and I. Maybe there's one more. We need not be selfish what we've felt today, what we've felt yesterday or the day before. We need to take it out the doors and spread it around, because a little bit of salt goes a long ways. That's right, Kendall. That's right. So my third question is, what if we stop? What if we stop? What happens? What happens? Oh, we have the message. We have one message. The Apostle Paul summed it up best. Remember, he says, I have determined not to know anything among you except what? Jesus Christ, and that's it. No! Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's because it takes the blood to change a heart. And it takes the blood to purify us before an Almighty God. That's what you and I need to come across and tell the world today. That's what we need to preach in each and everything. We need to let the world know that we've been redeemed. We need, and that means we need to be different from the world for them to see it. But we have one message, and that's Jesus Christ and Him alone. And we have one responsibility too. One responsibility is just to let Him be seen. Just to let Him be seen. Again, the Apostle Paul said, I become all things to all men that by all means I may win some. Sometimes I struggle with that, Ron, in becoming all things to all men. Because I have Steve's in my life. I don't like walking up to them, Corey, and saying, hey, I'm sorry if we do get in a disagreement. When's the last time you told somebody that you don't like, you're sorry? That's what I thought. I asked a question in my church one time on a Wednesday night. And I said, have you ever asked, or have you ever told anybody you were sorry whenever you knew you was right? And we had one question pointed right back at me. And she wasn't being mean about it. Good gracious, ain't a mean bone in this girl's body. And she says, no, why would I? That kind of points to our heart problem, doesn't it? The Bible says, blessed is the peacemakers. That doesn't mean we waver. We stand right where we need to stand. You better stand where we need to stand. Let me tell you something. If we go out with a spirit of animosity and a spirit of that, I don't like you, but I'm going to tell you about Jesus anyway. And if that's how we do it, what are they going to see? I could be able to quote the whole Bible to them. What do they see? This right here. I know it ain't pretty to look at. And I don't have the ability. I've got two crayons in my box. One of them's black and one of them's white. I don't have a gray one in the bunch. And if I like something, and if I don't, that's how it really works. Sometimes this life gets us down. Sometimes we have a hard time with it. Sometimes we struggle. We need to make sure, and preachers and Christians, we need to make sure that we do everything within our power to just simply let Him shine forth. It's the fruit of His Spirit that we need to bear. One last thing, and then we'll close. Not only do we have one message, and not only do we have one responsibility, if we reach, and if we preach, and if we stop before a lost and a dying world, we'll see one result. You know, sometimes I forget. I heard Derek Stennett preach one time about the bruised reed. And boy, that's good preaching. That bruised reed, it says he won't break it. And sometimes all we are, there's not even hardly a puff of smoke, but it's still smoking flax. He's not going to quench it. And boy, I like that whenever it's me. But boy, if it's that dirty, no good right there. Sometimes we as a church forget that one time we needed lifted up out of the horrible pit. Out of the miry clay. We needed our feet set upon a rock. The rock that is higher than I am. Whenever our heart is overwhelmed. And now we need to be led back to the rock that's higher than I. But He didn't stop there. He didn't just say, I'm going to pick you up, Mike, and I'm going to clean you up, Mike, and I'm going to set your feet here and leave me alone. No, He established our goings. I liken that to just a daddy down here showing his son. See this path right here? It's straight and narrow. And sometimes it's going to get dark and scary. But if you stay on this, son, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But He didn't stop there. He put a new song in my mouth. There's that song. Sometimes I sing it. Remind me, dear Lord. We need to be reminded what we've been brought out of. Where we could have been. Because if we don't, then we're left to face the answer of what if preachers quit preaching. And what if Christians quit reaching? It ends in death every time. Amen. But what if we stop? A changed life. the Apostle Paul is still amazed at how driven he was. All the things that he struggled with, he still kept pressing toward the mark. Even though he knew, you know, whenever he says he became all things to all men, only some were saved. That breaks my heart. Sometimes it doesn't break my heart like it should. But folks, that shouldn't deter us from standing and singing. That shouldn't deter us from getting down and reaching. And it better not worry us about standing up and preaching. Because if we don't, there's an ultimate price to pay. And that's not a good one. It's a big one, but it's not a good one. What we have to offer is something that the world can't explain. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal it to a man, I believe. Because I can't explain grace. I can talk about it. I can preach about it. But only Christ can reveal that to a person, I believe. And He's the only one that can change a person. He's the only one. Brother Ronnie, service.